We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
There are plenty of similarities between the John Beilein era and the Juwan Howard era here with Michigan men's basketball, but there is a pretty significant difference in recruiting. Under Coach Beilein, Michigan was rarely around the top 10 nationally, and more often than not, the Wolverines were closer to the middle of the Big Ten than that number one spot. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean anything. Heck, look to just the 2017 class for an example. Michigan was barely in the top 50 nationally. They were sixth in the Big Ten, according to 24/7 Sports, and that was Isaiah Livers, Eli Brooks, and Jordan Poole. Yeah, that class worked out just fine. But there is no denying that the recruiting level for Michigan has gone up significantly under Coach Howard. The six freshmen who arrive here in Ann Arbor in the coming days make up, according to most, the top class in the country. It's hard not to be excited about what this class, what these six young men can do for Michigan this season and beyond. Still, in a world where recruiting is discussed as much as it is easy to forget about the returning players who could be ready for that big jump from not contributing to being a rotation piece or from being a rotation piece to becoming a star. You know, the whole shiny new toy factor. A year ago at this time, people wondered if Zeb Jackson could beat out Mike Smith for the point guard spot, or at the very least, carve out a significant amount of time in that spot or at the two guard position. Zeb did not get as many minutes as he wanted to, but he did everything right off the floor and in the practice facility. So many throughout the season raved about his work ethic, his voice, his team-first mentality, and that all came to a head in the first NCAA tournament game against Texas Southern. Now, all of that does not guarantee a thing. Nor does the recruiting rankings of the incoming players or of those who are already in the program. Michigan is loaded with talent. But as you get excited, and understandably so, for the newcomers, for this new freshman class, just don't forget about some guys, and certainly don't forget about Zeb Jackson. We're going to talk with Zeb. We're also going to chat with the newest member of the program, athletic trainer Chris Williams, on a men's basketball edition of Defend the Block.
We're talking Michigan basketball. Welcome to Defend the Block, where we'll take you inside the basketball programs with interviews, analysis, and so much more. Now, here's your host, Brian Bush.
We'll talk about this a little bit with Zeb here on Defend the Block, but it is interesting the similarities of Zeb Jackson and Xavier Simpson, two young men who know each other well. Xavier was critical in helping Zeb late in that recruiting process after he had committed, but the coaching change had happened, about trusting not just Coach Howard, but Michigan as a whole. And they have similar demeanor, similar work ethics, and similar freshman seasons as well. Now, of course, Xavier Simpson soared onto the scene. He was the focal point of an incredible ball club his sophomore year, getting to the national championship game. And, I mean, he became really the player face of the program over the final three seasons of his career. I'm not saying that Zeb Jackson is going to get to that point by any stretch. It's difficult. It's almost impossible to put those expectations on anybody after what Xavier Simpson meant to this program. But it does show you that a freshman year does not predict an entirety of a career. And Zeb Jackson was a top 100 recruit. Both Coach Beilein and Coach Howard pegged him as someone who could really help this program. So it will be interesting to see, and it's great to catch up with Zeb, a guy who he's locked in. He's doing the right things. He's keeping his head down. He's working his tail off. And I do think that Zeb Jackson is going to be critical to the story that is the 2021-2022 Michigan men's basketball program. A few other things to get into. This is a men's basketball specific podcast today with our guests, but we can't get out of here without shouting out Naz Hillman again. Her third gold medal with Team USA. She was tremendous as the U.S. team won the AmeriCup. They took down Puerto Rico this past Saturday in the gold medal game. She was a key contributor throughout, averaging 12 points a game, 8 rebounds a game, played about 22 minutes a contest. What more can you say about that young woman, what she has done, not just now for Michigan, but for Team USA as she has continued to climb the pecking order? And I know that Kim Barnes-Rico, and as you've heard in recent weeks, this Michigan women's basketball assistant coaching staff, the three newcomers, they are itching to get an opportunity to work with Naz in the maize and blue coming up here soon. But I hope she's getting a little bit of a chance to unwind after a successful trip to that AmeriCup. A couple other things to tell you about. Always a fun feature each season with the MGO Blue Awards. It kicked off today, and it kicked off with a nice victory for Michigan men's basketball as Hunter Dickinson takes home the Freshman of the Year award. And both basketball programs are very much contenders in a lot of different fields. Of course, Hunter winning the Freshman of the Year on the men's side. For Athlete of the Year, not surprisingly, Naz Hillman is a finalist. That will come out the day that this is being released on Wednesday. Hunter Dickinson is a finalist for Athlete of the Year as well. Coach of the Year, Juwan Howard is a male finalist. And Team of the Year, the Michigan men's basketball team, also a finalist along with gymnastics and swimming and diving. So check it out, mgoblue.com, for that full coverage. There'll be some great moments. Next week will be the top 25 moments of the year for Michigan athletics. I think we're going to see some basketball ones next Friday, July the 2nd, when moments 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1 come out. Wouldn't be surprised to see a couple of basketball memories in that pecking order. Lastly, also just something to keep tabs on the website. This is the 50th anniversary of Title IX, so the Michigan athletic staff will be spending really this entire year from now until next summer, really highlighting what Title IX has meant, why it has been so important, not just to Michigan, but to collegiate athletics as a whole. So stay tuned. MGOBlue.com will have some great stuff on Title IX, and we'll have some content for you here on MGOBlue podcasts at some point as well. But some cool stuff coming up. I know this is a lull of the college sports calendar, of course, outside of the College World Series going on. It's it for the season, right? So stay tuned, mgoblue.com. Some great stuff with the yearly awards, with some Title IX content, and a whole lot more. But you came here for Michigan basketball content. You came here to listen to Zeb Jackson and Chris Williams. So I talked a little bit about Zeb. He's coming up first. But Chris Williams, really interesting story. He has done a lot in his young but productive career as an athletic trainer. Most recently was with the Minnesota Timberwolves. Has also had several stops in college basketball. Shout out to Alex Wong, Michigan's trainer, who has departed the program incredible job that he did. He really was beloved and an unsung hero in all of this. You know, it's interesting. When Eli Brooks went down, I think externally there were a lot of concerns, but Alex Wong and John Sanderson, those two, they were a great team, and we wish Alex all the very best in what comes next for him. But Chris Williams, the new trainer, interesting story, interesting journey, including ties to the state down south, Ohio. So we'll talk about that with him. Zeb Jackson first, Chris Williams second. Hope you enjoy these conversations as we bring you some Michigan men's basketball coverage here in late June.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
We're continuing to get set for Michigan men's basketball, which will be here before we all know it. And for that, we welcome in sophomore guard Zeb Jackson. Zeb, how you doing? How's the spring into early summer treating you?
I'm doing really good, actually. This spring, I've just been grinding, really. Just been putting my head down, staying out the way, and putting in work. Honestly, it's been a fun spring.
Yeah, take me through the last year, if you don't mind, because it's obviously been a challenging one. It's been a unique one for you, for everyone in that program. How have you grown as a player, as a person, since stepping foot in Ann Arbor as a student and going through what you did last season?
I mean, to be honest with you, I've grown a lot, I feel like, personally, because mentally I've been challenged a lot throughout these past 2 years. At Mount Vernon, my first year at Michigan, and I feel like it's helped a lot. And then just the fact that, like, all the coaches stay in touch, they make sure we're good, and I'm able to get in the gym whenever I want. So, I mean, honestly, I've just been focusing on getting better each and every day still, but this past year, I definitely feel like I got better.
Yeah, you mentioned Montverde and that experience that you had for your senior year of high school. And I know before the season in Ann Arbor, you talked about just how the non-game time was so valuable, the practices and learning around so many great players. How did that carry over for this season? I know you didn't play as much as you wanted to, but you were able to continue to learn. How have you made the most of those opportunities?
To be honest with you, even at Michigan, it was challenging at first. But it was mainly just because I had to figure out a way for myself to be more consistent mentally and just basketball wise. I really just feel like the way our team was, and even with COVID and everything, we just were really good at helping each other get through all of that. So my personal journey through this past year, my freshman year, was still just, it was a really good year for me to build off of.
Yeah, and something that people talked about when you had that big game in the NCAA tournament and even before that, a lot of your teammates raved about you, your communication, being vocal, the work ethic you put in. How did that camaraderie and that feedback help you? Because it's one thing to have those types of, you know, accolades and the praise in games, and we had a chance to talk to you after that Texas Southern game, but it's another when you're just, you're internal, it's behind the scenes. So how did your teammates kind of help you continue to improve, even though you didn't get maybe as many chances on the floor to prove that?
I mean, basically what you just said, I mean, they shared that positive energy with me and they kept telling me that my time would come. And personally, I mean, I'm the type of person where regardless, like, I'm going to do me. So, I mean, whether I had people in my ear or not, I definitely have my plans to keep grinding and do what I need to do. But that support from them helped me push even more on days when I didn't maybe want to work out early in the morning or after practice or whenever. Just them telling me that time is going to come help motivate me for sure.
I remember talking to Franz about you at some point late in the season, and he said, Zeb gets there so early, some people don't even see him when they arrive. So what is that early for you, and how do those early morning workouts help you?
I'm gonna keep that a secret, but I will say that I used to get my work in before my day actually was supposed to start. So most of the time I was there before most people would get there. Like, I'd probably be leaving while most people would be getting there, but I was leaving because that's when, like, all of our days were getting ready to start.
All right, fair enough. So, but what does that do to help you? I mean, you get that work in so early. I mean, how has that helped you? Does it help center you? Does it help you kind of get focused for the day? I mean, what does that do? Because we hear so often that the people who get up early and get to work right away tend to be the most successful. So what does that do for you and the rest of your day and your game as a whole?
For me, mentally, it just helps with confidence. Like, it helps me understand, okay, I work too hard to not be able to do this or this. Like, for me, it's just, it's all mental, honestly. It's challenging myself mentally to get up every morning, even if I don't want to. And then once I put in that work and I get to practice, it's like, okay, Zeb, like, you do this all the time. Like, just be comfortable, be confident. And it just, I mean, that's really what it helped me with.
So let's talk about your game a little bit. Where do you think you've improved the most from the time you stepped foot in Ann Arbor about a year or so ago until now? And what are the areas you still feel like, yeah, I'm locked in on this, getting ready for the season, that I know I need to improve?
I feel like I've improved a lot on, like, finding my pace within, like, college basketball now. The pace is different than high school for sure. And just trying to figure out how to play hard all the time. I feel like I've gotten better at that, which that's something I still need to work on. But I feel like I've gotten better with playing hard all the time. And then also just a big thing for me to improve on would be consistency, for sure. I mean, there's days where I'll be like really good. Then there's days where it's like, okay, like, Zeb, what you doing? So just getting more consistent with it is a big thing for me for sure.
A common refrain in analysis in sports is, oh, well, look at this player. He had a big game or she had a big game, and that's automatic confidence. You've alluded to confidence a few times in the conversation so far, and that was common when people saw you in that first half against Texas Southern contribute and do so in a big way. Did that help with your confidence, and do you feed off of that? What did that performance do for you for the rest of that tournament and into this offseason?
It definitely helped with my confidence, but I also feel like the fans helped with my confidence as well. Like, I enjoyed that energy that they gave me, and I just felt a lot more comfortable. But, I mean, at the end of the day, like, confidence is a big thing for me that I feel like I could also work on a little bit, because a lot of the skills that I have are what I need. It's just about me putting it together, so.
You mentioned the crowd and the environment and the energy. You grew up in the Toledo area. You know Michigan basketball. You've known it for a long time. I mean, just how strange was that? I know you came here for visits and you saw Chrysler Center sold out, and that's what you signed up for before all this started. So what was it like, and just how anxious are you to get out there when hopefully, fingers crossed, we have a full crowd?
It was a lot different playing without fans at first. Just how quiet it was. Like, we had parents on Zoom calls on the TV during warm-ups. Like, it was just all so weird at first. But I feel like I was so used to seeing Chrysler filled up and seeing all those fans. Like, that's what I was comfortable with, and that's what I couldn't wait for. So when I finally got to that point where we could even have the amount of fans that we had for March Madness, it would just felt so much better. And Michigan is so close to Indianapolis. I mean, our March Madness games were like home games, to be honest. So
they really were. And gosh, there was a chance if things would have been normal, you guys as a one seed would have likely been placed in Detroit for the first and second rounds. A lot of what could have been, but it was still such a special season a year ago. What in your eyes made that group so successful, so much of a team, when it had been easy to have it be a little bit more discombobulated? Because, you know, you guys were talking for a while, like we're talking right now with, you know, just a square in front of us.
No, yeah, I feel like early on last summer, we just clicked right away. Like we did a lot of stuff as a team together through Zoom or through Zoom or in person when we could see each other. And we just clicked right away, to be honest. Like, we added really good pieces, Mike, Sean D, like transfers, all of our freshmen, like everybody that was there. It's just the culture of Michigan, really. I mean, all the players just fit together perfectly. Coach Howard, he knows who he's recruiting, the type of people that they are. And that's really what helps us gel together so well and play together.
You mentioned Coach Howard, and I know you've been asked plenty about you kind of being an interesting pivot point for Michigan basketball. You commit to John Beilein, you recommit to Juwan Howard, and that was kind of the last John Beilein commit you to come to the program. So over the last year, I mean, you had to hear those things from Juwan Howard as well. How did those conversations, did those promises, did those commitments play out over the course of the year? Do you feel like, yeah, this was the right decision for me, whether it was Coach Beilein or Coach Howard?
All right. Coach Howard is one of the most like real authentic people I've met. So I feel like everything that he told me was going to happen is what happened. And whatever happened that, let's say, I didn't like was on me. And I understood that. Like, it was just, I mean, that's why I work out so much. I try and just get to the point where, you know, I take care of what I can control. You know what I'm saying? But everything that he told me before I got on campus, it all happened for sure. And I'm happy with the decision.
You know, you talk a lot, and I know that you're close with Xavier Simpson. I think there's a lot of parallels that can be drawn between you two. And you know, Xavier didn't play a whole lot as a freshman. People didn't know as a sophomore what his role would be. And, you know, he's basically the vocal leader on a team that went to the national championship game that season. So for you, what has Xavier meant to you and your growth and your progression as a college basketball player, not just with your relationship? I know he helped you in that acclimation process to Michigan, but just who you are as a player as a whole beyond Ann Arbor and beyond the Wolverines.
I mean, I've been working out with X since I was maybe like third, fourth grade. It's been a long time. So when I got here, he kind of let me know what I was getting into and let me know that in this situation, like, as long as I pay attention and learn as much as I can while I'm here, I'll be best prepared for when I get to the next level. So he just keeps talking to me, letting me know like how to kind of deal with the whole college situation. Like, it's just a whole different experience. So he's kind of been helping me through all of it. And yeah, I mean, I talk to him all the time, honestly.
He's a special part of this program. There's no doubt about it. Before we let you go, soon here, you guys will be getting back together. Hopefully, all signs point to this being a much more normal offseason, which will be a first for you because of all the challenges of last season. Your initial impressions of those who have come back, of those who might come back or might not in Hunter Dickinson, and the freshmen that you're seeing coming in, what do you think this ball club can look like here next season?
I'm extremely confident in our team. I definitely know that, obviously, I really want Hunter back. And I'm going to stay on Hunter, I'll say that, but I'm really confident in Coach Howard and the coaching staff, and I know that they'll prepare us to be ready to win a national championship.
All right, last question. Before you guys do get back rolling and get to hard work, you going to be doing anything? You doing any traveling, or is it just staying locked in Ann Arbor? You can do anything fun before things get really ramped up?
I mean, really just locked in. I've been locked in for spring. I plan to stay locked in for the summer and get ready to run national championship. That's the goal.
That was a Xavier Simpson-esque answer. You know that, right?
That's it.
I can see the influence since third and fourth grade. That's a good thing to have, man.
Stay low. I mean, the biggest thing is just staying low, staying out the way, grinding, and just being focused on your goals. That's a big thing.
Well, we look forward to seeing how that hard work and how that work in the gym will play here in November and beyond. And again, hopefully in front of a full crowd. Zeb, appreciate the time. Keep grinding, and we'll talk to you soon.
For sure. Appreciate it, Brian.
Continuing our coverage here on Defend the Block, it's the newest member of the program, the athletic trainer, Chris Williams. Chris, welcome to the program. Take us through this process, this job application, and getting the position with Michigan. How did it all happen, and why was this the right fit for you?
Yeah, for sure. I was actually in Detroit. We were playing the Detroit Pistons. I was working with the Minnesota Timberwolves. And I got a phone call from a colleague of mine that works in the NBA that's really close with Daryl Conway, the head athletic trainer with Michigan. And he said that, you know, this Michigan basketball job opened up. And he's like, you know, I think you'd be a great fit for it. You know, I think it's, you know, I think you're ready to get back into the college athletics and, you know, get out of the professional, you know, kind of craziness and stuff that goes along with the pro sports. So he said, I think you'd be a really good fit for Michigan. He's like, you need to give Daryl a phone call. So as soon as I got that text message, I picked up the phone and, you know, I called Daryl and, you know, talked to him for a couple minutes and, you know, told him how much, you know, how excited I am that the job opened up. It's a job that I didn't know. You know, I didn't know that Alex Wong was leaving. And, you know, I called him, talked to him for a few minutes and, you know, he said that, you know, the job's going to open up here in the next couple of days, you know, just apply online and, you know, we go through the interview process and, went through the interview process all over Zoom virtually. We had to meet everybody, met Coach Howard, met the athletic training staff, and, you know, really liked it. You know, everybody was super welcoming and, like, you know, I just really thought that, you know, that Michigan was the place for me, you know. So went through the interview process and got the job offer, and, you know, it was a no-brainer. You know, I took that thing as soon as I could. Super close to home. I'm from Columbus, Ohio, so it's only about, you know, 180 some miles, a couple hours away. So, you know, it's just easy. It's an easy job to accept for sure.
Yeah, we'll get into that Columbus tie here in a little bit. But in terms of your main task, I mean, you've really had a unique career, and we'll go through your stops, including, like you mentioned, in the NBA with the Timberwolves. But take me through the responsibilities of this role from your perspective. What do you hope to accomplish? It's not just to help injured players come back. There's a lot that goes into it on the preventative side. So just take me through what you view to be your most important roles coming into this position.
Yeah, the most important roles is it's all about the players. You know, it's all about keeping everybody, you know, as healthy as possible, you know, mentally healthy as possible, especially, you know, during times like this, you know, it's tough to stay mentally healthy. So just being there for them, you know, the best that I can be. So, yeah, we do, you know, I do a lot of preventative exercises. I do a lot of preventative screening. So screening all of our athletes beforehand just to see if they have any underlying issues that, you know, may not have come up and, you know, they might not have gotten injured yet or, you know, something like that, something that we can catch before they get injured. So, you know, I take them through a screening process and, you know, we do maintenance and corrective exercises and, you know, work closely with John, the strength and conditioning coach, you know, all the day-to-day, you know, cover all the practices, cover the games and travel with the team and all that. But yeah, my main focus is just keeping the players as healthy as possible and keeping them as strong and, you know, keeping them out on the basketball court so they can get out there and win games and, you know, hopefully win the national championship.
And I know it's not one size fits all with regards to how you interact with each individual and the type of attention, the type of preventative stuff that you do, stuff before games. So how do you go about crafting that treatment for each player? How does that evolve as you get to know them and as you get closer to the season?
Yeah, like you said, it takes time. And, you know, not everybody everybody's the same, and there's no cookie cutter answer. You know, not everybody needs to work on ankle mobility, and not everybody needs to work on, you know, shoulder flexibility, you know. So taking them through a screening process and getting to know their bodies, getting to know their deficits, getting to know what their strengths are. So it just all takes a lot of time. And, you know, our guys, they're not in town right now, not all of them. We have I saw a couple of the guys when I was starting up working on Monday. So we have probably about two or three guys that are in town right now. But when they come in, the first thing I'll do is, you know, introduce myself and try to get to know them and, you know, having them get to know me and, you know, trying to build that personal relationship, because, you know, relationships, they take time and they take effort. So, you know, I'll try to get to know them on a personal level. And then after that, you know, take them through a screening process and, you know, talk to them and see like, hey, what do you think? You know, what do you think are areas that you could improve on in your health? Or, you know, what are your strengths? Like, what do you feel like that you're really good at, you know, as far as, you know, in the athletic training room and in your body? And, you know, what do you do really well out on the court? Or, you know, what are things like that, you know, I could help you with that, you know, can make you even better basketball players? So, yeah, it takes time. It's, you know, you got to sit down and talk to them and, you know, take them through that screening process and then, you know, go from there and then start with the corrective exercises and preventative exercises and maintenance work and stuff like that. And, you know, maybe some of the guys are, you know, having injuries or, you know, have something going on right now, you know, so I could take care of that now in the off season. So, you know, it's not a problem during the basketball season. So yeah, it's going to take some time, but I'm looking forward to it. I think that's one of the best parts of the job is just like, you know, getting to know everybody and the relationships that you build. So I'm really looking forward to building that.
It's been a pretty fascinating career for you. And we're with Chris Williams, the new athletic trainer for Michigan men's basketball. You alluded to your time with the Timberwolves for a couple of years, from the pandemic to the racial issues, a really unique couple of years. What was all of that like, and what was it like to be in the league?
Yeah, it was great. It was a really, really good experience to be in the NBA, and it was a dream come true. You know, ever since I was working, you know, I worked with the New England Patriots for a full year. I did an internship with them and did a summer internship with them too before that. So ever since I was working with the Patriots, I always wanted to work with professional athletes, but basketball was more my niche. It was more like the setting that I really wanted to work with. So after I was done working with the Patriots, I was like, man, I would love to be in the NBA and just like work with professional athletes at the highest level, you know, and, you know, get to see some of the most, you know, explosive and, you know, top performing and, you know, some legends, some living legends, you know, right there on the basketball court. So I always thought that, you know, it'd be really cool to do. I was working at Texas Tech, and we got to the Final Four, and the Final Four was in Minneapolis. So I got to meet the head athletic trainer, Greg Farnham, for the Minnesota Timberwolves during that Final Four. And I told him, you know, like, if there's ever any jobs that opened up in the NBA, it doesn't even have to be here in Minnesota, anywhere. You know, here's my card, here's my number. And he called me a couple months later, and they had a job position that was opened up. So, you know, it was just kind of blind luck and, you know, fate, you know, that got me to Minneapolis. So for my first season, I worked in the off season in around July, all the way up until the Iowa Wolves, their G League team affiliate, started up in, I think they started in late October, early November. I think their first game was early November. So then I worked with the Iowa Wolves. So I traveled to Iowa, and we had our season, and, you know, it got cut short during the pandemic, just like everybody else got cut short. And they actually ended the Iowa Wolves season. So went back home for the pandemic, and, you know, I thought the pandemic would last for about a week, and it ended up in about 6 weeks or 7 weeks. And right after Mother's Day, I got a phone call from my boss, Greg Farnham, said, hey, we're going to start working up, and it looks like the NBA is going to try to finish the season. So, you know, love to get you back here in Minneapolis. So I traveled back to Minneapolis and did my quarantine for 2 weeks. And then right during that quarantine was the George Floyd incident, like something that I've never lived anything like through that, like with the racial, you know, injustice and unrest and all that. You know, the Rodney King incident might have been something close. It was early in my life, but I don't really remember it. But being downtown in Minneapolis, like, I was quarantined. Like I said, I had the quarantine for 2 weeks, so I was in a hotel in downtown Minneapolis. So, you know, like you said, you know, people say, you know, watch the city burn down. Like, I literally watched the city burn down. You know, like, the fires were, you know, right down the street from, you know, where I was staying. You could hear the police sirens and the fire alarms and, you know, the crowds and, you know, all kinds of stuff. So you know, it was crazy. I just stayed inside, you know, I just stayed inside and kept the, you know, the news on just like everybody else and just, you know, watched the whole, you know, watched everything unfold and, you know, watch all the news coverage and the local news and, you know, talk to all my friends and family, you know, telling them that, you know, I'm okay. You know, it was crazy down there. And, you know, the protests and the riots were just, they were out of control. You know, they were out of control. So just kept in touch with my parents and everything and my family and just let them know that I was okay. And I just stayed in the hotel for the rest of that quarantine time. And, you know, after my quarantine was up, finished up with the Timberwolves, you know, we didn't have, they only did, the NBA bubble for the teams that were in the playoffs and we weren't a playoff team. So we just had a couple workouts. So we just were, you know, working out and went through the rest of the off season, which went all the way up until, you know, I think right after Christmas. And I think we started up games around then and, you know, worked those games and finished off the season with the Timberwolves and had a little short 6-week NBA G League bubble in Orlando, covered those and, you know, went back with the Timberwolves and then finished the season up. And I think our last road game was in Detroit. So that was that game where I got the phone call from my colleague. And I talked to Daryl for a little bit on the phone. So that wrapped up my season and, you know, here I am now. So the NBA season that I had, I don't think was the NBA experience that, you know, I was that most people get in their 2 years. But I got a lot of experience. I got to travel. I got to see what the day-to-day was like. I got to see, you know, some of the greats, the NBA greats, you know, Steph Curry and LeBron James and Kevin Durant, and got to see all of them play up close. So, you know, I achieved my goals and my dreams, but, you know, college athletics and college basketball is just something that, you know, it's just something that is unparalleled. Like, you know, it's my fit. It's where I'm supposed to be. And, you know, I was close at Texas Tech to winning the national championship, and it's been my goal ever since then. Like, you know, even when I was in the NBA, I think about it every day. I thought about it every single day. I'm like, man, we were, you know, 13, 15 seconds away from winning the national championship. I want to do it. And, you know, when the Michigan job opened up, you know, you got, you know, Coach Howard and, you know, you got all these great players around, like, he's going to do it. We're going to do it. We're going to win the national championship here. And you know, I'm just super excited to be a part of this.
Yeah, you mentioned that 2019 team, of course, beating Michigan in the Sweet 16 that year in Anaheim to get to that point. I'm curious in your path, college, you were at Kent State, Florida State, Bradley, of course, Texas Tech. Yeah, you know what to kind of look for in programs, and if that's your goal to win a national championship, what is it about Michigan, what is it about this opportunity that stood out when you had the conversation with Daryl and you contemplated this chance?
Yeah, for sure. And it was Coach Howard. You know, Coach Howard is one of the top college coaches in NCAA. And, you know, you can just see it. And during the interview process, just talking with him, you know, you can feel it from him. Even over Zoom, you could feel like, you know, what type of person he is. He's super genuine. You know, he's a guy that's going to look you in your eyes and, you know, tell you the truth and, you know, really care about what you have to say and, you know, really listen to you. And, you know, if I could feel that, you know, just as an athletic trainer on an interview, I could only imagine what the players feel. And like, I feel like these players are going to, you know, they run through walls for them. You know, they do anything for them. And those are the type of coaches that, you know, I've worked for that have been like super successful. Like I've worked for Bill Belichick before. I've worked for, you know, I've worked for Jimbo Fisher, who's in the national championship football coach, and I've worked for Tubby Smith, who's a Hall of Fame coach, and I've worked with Chris Beard. You know, I've worked with some of these coaches, and like I feel the same type of energy and the same type of passion and, you know, charisma from Coach Howard that I have with some of these greats that I've worked with, all these great coaches I've worked with. And I know, I'm telling you, I can feel it. Like, these guys are going to play their butts off for him, and, you know, they'd do anything for him, you know, so he's going to do it. You know, we're going to end up winning the national championship here, and hopefully here in the near future.
So before we let you get out of here, you mentioned you're from Columbus. You are a graduate of Ohio State, now crossing over to Michigan. I mean, have friends and family members disowned you? I mean, what has this been like over the last few weeks?
Yeah, I think I'm still a Williams. I think I still have my last name. You know, I think my dad is super excited. He's really excited that I'm closer to home. And, you know, it's an easy drive for him to come to Ann Arbor to catch a game, or when we come to Columbus, you know, catch a game. So my dad's been awesome. And my, you know, my sister and my brother-in-law, they all get it. You know, it's a really good opportunity. But my mom is going to have to be the one that we're going to have to convince, you know, because she was excited that I was closer to home, but she just said, man, out of all of the schools, you have to pick Michigan and the Wolverines. And, you know, growing up, you know, we were football fans, you know, we watched basketball, but we were a football family for sure. And, you know, Michigan growing up used to beat our tails every single year in the 90s. And I remember, like, the name Biaka Batuka was like a curse word in the Williams household. Like, you couldn't say Biaka Batuka or else you get grounded, you know, for about a week. So my mom was super passionate about the Michigan Wolverines. And, you know, when I told her that I was interviewing at Michigan, I told her I was interviewing for a job. And I'm like, you're not going to like where it is, but I promise it's a really good job. And she's like, as long as it's not Michigan. I was like, it's at Michigan. So getting her on board is going to take a little bit of time. And, you know, maybe I'll just have her meet Coach Howard just one time, just have her FaceTime Coach Howard, and, you know, she'll be on board after that. So I think we can convince her. We'll make a Michigan fan out of her.
Yeah, the recruiting of Coach Howard has done some great work, as we've seen. So yeah, that might be the play. Well, from one Ohio-born Wolverine to another, welcome to the program, to the family. It's awesome, man. I'm really excited to have you and looking forward to actually meeting you in person here once some practices get going.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I can't wait to get to know you and get to know the rest of the family. You know, everybody that I've talked to so far have been unbelievable. But, you know, I really look forward to the relationships with the support staff and you guys and all the fans and all that. I'm really looking forward to, you know, being part of this community and, you know, being part of the Wolverine family.
Two great guests for you here today on Defend the Block. Thanks to Zeb. Thanks to Chris. Chris was actually traveling to pick up some of his stuff and drive it back in a U-Haul. He was at the airport when he was able to slot us in. So it's a busy time for him. And things really ramp up. The team will be able to start getting some work in starting on July the 1st. We will have a full breakdown of that throughout July. We'll also let you hear from some of the newcomers for Michigan men's basketball, the six freshmen making up the top recruiting class in the country. All of that to come in ensuing weeks. As always, subscribe, rate, review, send us an email, MichiganWolverinesRadio@gmail.com. All of that really does help us a ton. That's it for me, Brian Bush. Thank you so much for listening to this week's edition of Defend the Block and Go Blue.
Thanks for listening to today's edition of Defend the Block, part of our Michigan Athletics Podcast Network, MGo Blue Podcasts. The preceding is a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.